research shows that a lack of diversity in healthcare can create health disparities. Our next guest is working to shape the next generation of doctors in an effort to create a more diverse and inclusive environment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like your doctor understands you and your background? Can they reach out and meet your needs? Do you see different groups represented in the healthcare profession? If you're a doctor yourself or looking to work in healthcare, do you see a diverse group of coworkers, of classmates along the way? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Alex Porter is a neuro-oncologist at Mayo Clinic. She co-founded the nonprofit Elevate Med that works to increase physician workforce diversity and improve cultural competence among physicians. Dr. Porter, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much, Rob. It's just a privilege to be here.
Well, let's start by talking about your own experience as a Black woman in medicine. Now, if we surveyed all the Black women who work as neuro-oncologists in this country, one in four of them are you. There's only four, literally. Could you talk about that?
It's true. It's true. And at 45 years old, I'm the most senior, which is even an even more startling statistic. You know, when I entered medical school, I thought potentially I wanted to be a neurosurgeon, having been inspired by the career of Dr. Ben Carson. It was only later that I figured out that neurology was actually the right field for me. And when I went to my counselor in medical school and said, I found it, I figured out what I want to be, it's neurology. He said, well, Alex, you don't look like a neurologist. And while I made a joke at the time and said, well, let me grab my bow tie and make us all feel really comfortable about this, he really wasn't wrong. Less than 1% of neurologists are Black, and even less so Black women. And so I am breaking barriers along the way, I'll say, in my career. And in many ways, it's quite a privilege.
We'll talk more about that path to becoming a doctor and a specialist in different areas in a bit. I want to talk about the idea of health equity a little bit, though. On the patient side of things, what does health equity mean?
It means that patients should be able to expect to receive the same treatment for the same disease and expect the same outcome as a result of that treatment. And one of the reasons why it's so is such an important aspect of the conversation when we start to talk about workforce diversity is that we all have a moral obligation to put an end to health disparities. And there's so many reasons why different populations may have different outcomes or may receive different treatments. But one of the aspects that's tangible in that complexity is influencing the workforce. And that's why I've spent so much of my career investing in the next generation, because we know that when we enter into the healthcare system, it's at a time that we are at our most vulnerable. And that is where we deserve to feel like we belong and that we can trust in the people that are providing the care for us. And there's no greater way to establish trust and that sense of belonging than through representation. And that's why it is so critically important that the healthcare workforce, physicians included, reflect the populations that we're caring for.
You've got this nonprofit you started with your husband, I understand. It's called Elevate Med, which is a lot of what we're talking about here. Can you talk about Elevate Med and the mission?
Absolutely. My husband, Dr. Gregory Umphrey, and I, we come from families that are emotionally supportive, but financially less so. And by the time we got together in residency and talked about what it might look like for us to get married, we quickly realized that together we owed over $500,000 in medical school debt alone. Both of us were privileged to have full scholarships for undergrad, but had to take out a combination of private and federal loans in order to make our medical school dreams a reality. And so what we created with Elevate Med is a gap that I saw in our medical school experience. I wish that there were scholarships for folks like me that are looking to really become leaders in healthcare and to influence healthcare, health policy, and all of those things. I wish that I had mentors that looked like me doing what I do. I wish that I had some form of leadership development, because physicians really are leaders in whatever spaces they hold. And that's a critically important component to our success in our careers. And then finally, I wish that we had some elements of financial wellness education. We know that folks that are coming from underrepresented backgrounds often have higher levels of indebtedness coming from undergrad as well as medical school. Unfortunately, the data would also suggest that women and people of color often get paid less, even within medicine, than their white counterparts. When it comes to the research spectrum, unfortunately, we also know that data shows us that our research is less likely to be funded. And I start to think about what questions are out there that are left unanswered because the funding never came through. And so having the scholarships, the mentorship, the leadership development, and the financial wellness education are the four pillars of our Elevate Med program. And I'm so grateful to share with you, Rob, that in the last coming up on 4 years since our inception, we've already been able to award over $500,000 in scholarships and support. But for our program to continue to be as successful as it is, it really does depend on folks continuing to invest invest in us. And so anybody listening today who's interested can find us at elevatemed.org. And please help us by making a donation to our program.
We're talking to Dr. Alex Porter, neuro-oncologist at Mayo Clinic, about her work to increase diversity among doctors. If you have a question about her work or a personal experience to share, you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Dr. Alex Porter is with us, neuro-oncologist at Mayo Clinic, talking about her work to increase physician workforce diversity and to improve cultural competence among physicians. She co-founded the nonprofit Elevate Med. Dr. Porter, you mentioned the importance of mentorship. That's part of what you're trying to do. In your situation coming into neuro-oncology, if you wanted to talk to a Black woman in the field, I'm guessing the number was zero or really close to it when you were coming out of med school.
You're absolutely right. And in fact, it really took me some years to start to find community. And so I'm so grateful to the folks who have been champions of my career, not just the mentors that I've had along the way that didn't look like me, by the way, but those people that have been sponsors for me and helped get me into spaces that I really had no exposure in prior. And so it really has been, even in my career time now, 15 years out of training, it's wonderful to go to our major society meetings and see more diverse trainees, you know, residents and fellows, folks that are interested in taking care of patients with brain cancer, because this is a disease that does not discriminate. And patients deserve to be able to see themselves reflected in the folks that are taking care of them. And so any win for diversity in neuro-oncology truly is a win for medicine and a win for our community in general.
I used the phrase cultural competence a few minutes ago. You know, not any given doctor could treat any given patient at any given time. Can you talk about what you mean by cultural competence when it comes to a doctor?
Yeah, it's such an important question that you ask, Rob, because when we think about cultural competence, I think for many of us, we consider it a checkbox. When it comes to different healthcare institutions, you know, some of the questions that might be asked, do you have chaplain support? Do you have language services? Those sorts of things to be able to care for people with different needs. And while cultural competence is what's accepted as really what the ideal should be, I like to challenge folks, and I like to think about the concept of cultural humility. The fact is, none of us can be experts in anyone else's culture other than our own. And so it's critically important that we treat one another with a sense of curiosity, recognizing that our experience is only that of our own, and that we have to be curious and ask the right questions of the folks that we're so privileged to share in the care of, to make sure that we're actually meeting their needs. We all come into the room and the patient encounter with an agenda per se. And so I'll say that nobody really has won or will have their agenda or heard, have their needs heard if we aren't curious and we don't first listen to one another. And so while cultural competence continues to be this phrase that we use in lots of different spaces, including within Elevate Med, we do know that when you have more diverse people around, it's better for everyone. It's not just better for patients as we think about patient care. It's better for the conversations that are happening in the workroom and the conversations that are happening in the cafeteria once we start to understand each other a little bit more, but still to be curious because no one has lived our experience other than ourselves.
Now, I'm not a doctor. I haven't gone through the training. I understand it's a lot of work, and not just in med school, but in continuing education. How do you make sure you find the time and the room for this kind of cultural competence training for people who have a lot on their plate already?
Yeah, you know, it really does have to be something that we're constantly dedicating ourselves toward. There's certainly opportunities through varied societies and organizations that physicians and healthcare folks that work in healthcare can be a part of, where different courses are offered for continuing medical education. But I would say that as we practice medicine every day, we have an opportunity to learn from every single person that we encounter. And that's one of the things that's beautiful about medicine. You get to take on this position of being a lifelong learner. And so every patient creates a new opportunity for me to work on that cultural humility, if you will. Every patient gives me the opportunity to fine-tune my listening and my understanding and communication. And so I try to put myself in a position of constantly being able to learn, because you're right, it's absolutely difficult to be able to find the time to take additional courses.
I wonder if you have thoughts for people out there who have been in that situation of being the patient and thinking, there's a cultural mismatch with my healthcare provider. I want to be heard and I don't feel like I am. Do you have thoughts on ways they can advocate for themselves in that position?
Yeah, I'll share kind of a trade secret. It's sometimes physicians are running late. They are multitasking, and unfortunately, sometimes they may not have the time to be able to pay attention to give the patient in front of them the attention they deserve. And so if a patient is ever on the other side of that, it's absolutely within their right to kind of ask the doctor for a timeout or a pause or just for a moment to and make that eye contact to ensure that that the physician is giving their full attention. And even after that, if you feel like you still aren't being heard, absolutely. The nice thing about healthcare is oftentimes we operate in teams. So there'll be somebody else in the room. There'll be a nurse available or even somebody at the desk who you might say, you know, I'm just not sure that I was able to get across what it is that is concerning me most. Because the most important thing is that your needs are met when you enter into a healthcare encounter. And if that's not happening with the provider that you've been assigned, certainly there are other opportunities for you to ensure that you're being heard and that your needs are being met.
And Dr. Porter, in just our last minute, I wonder if you could speak to, you know, maybe a high school student who's out there listening, thinking, I want to be a doctor, but I don't look like a doctor because of race or gender, or maybe their economic background, you name it. What would you say to encourage them?
Yeah. You know, it's the person that doesn't look like it that is exactly who we need. Sometimes I have the opportunity of being around young people and they say, oh, you know, I want to be an influencer. And I tell them, well, find a gap and fill it. And for any of us that don't look like the typical or don't come from a family lineage with a lot of physicians, you are exactly who we need. And so I would encourage them to continue to really work on their bravery and their resilience and their courage, because you need a lot of those skills in order to have this long career in medicine. And especially if you're plotting a new path and, you know, or maybe going in a different direction than what your, you know, family typically goes into. Those are all your experience, your perspective is exactly what's needed in our field, because, again, we deserve to have a workforce that really looks like the population that we take care of every day.
Dr. Porter, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Dr. Alex Porter, a neuro-oncologist at Mayo Clinic. We talked with her about her work in shaping the next generation of physicians and the nonprofit she co-founded, Elevate Med, which works to increase diversity in the medical workforce.